I'm on the run and I wanna get off, but they won't slow down the roundabout. Hi.
Hey. It's us.
It's Paul and Grace.
Yeah.
And we're out for a walk. And it's windy and slightly rainy.
A little bit overcast. Sun breaks through.
This recording may not sound very good.
Yeah, but you got the dead cat.
I'll compress it as best I can to filter background noise.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what's happening?
Not much.
Not much.
And by not much, I mean like almost nothing because we're at home under quarantine.
Ragnarok is happening.
Ragnarok's happening, yeah, basically.
Although, gonna switch hands.
I don't know, a friend of mine was pointing out, he's been trying to find a place to live for some time now. He's been staying in a shelter. He's been praying for about the last year for an asteroid to hit and just do a hard reset on the planet. And he said, maybe I was thinking too big. It seems like a microbe might do a hard reset.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it all turns out. I'm hoping to see some of the best that humanity has to offer. I'm sure we'll also see some of humanity's most depraved underbelly going
forward.
Yeah,
we'll just watch the daily White House press briefing. And
yeah, that's pretty depraved.
There you are.
So, you know, these are interesting times.
So, let's back up a bit and talk about our own timeline, how we got to where we are and what's happening. So do you recall when you first knew it was going down?
It was a little bit like a week after my birthday. I was reading. Yeah, I like to follow
second,
news. Second week in February. I like to follow the news on epidemics.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a personal interest. Yes. I was kind of like, oh, this could be a big deal, right?
Yes.
And I was kind of, what piqued my concern was that I had not heard of and was not aware of any precautions being taken
in the United States,
like even at all.
Right.
And the way we managed to really not get hammered with MERS and with SARS.
Yeah.
Was we took some serious precautions at our borders.
Including screening people at points of entry.
Yes, yes. And you know what? And we really escaped, I won't say unscathed because people died, but it did not become a huge public right. health emergency.
Right.
And then H1N1 was
there were states that never had a case.
And the states that never had a case of SARS or MERS.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't even remember MERS, honestly.
Right. And it did kill people.
Yes, that happened.
But
Not
at this scale.
By a long shot.
In about that time frame, I was starting to communicate with my company's management.
Yes, roughly, I think it might have been the third week of February, maybe,
yeah.
Because I think that's when we started talking about it.
Right, but I have been aware of this for some time because I've been attempting to work with a team in China,
yes,
in Hong Kong, and mm-hmm. half of that team, roughly, was locked down at home for, I'm going to say, about 6 weeks.
Yes.
And unable to get into the office.
And access their tools.
And access the prototype hardware we had sent them. And so I had to set up a machine with prototype hardware in our office that attached to a computer that I left on overnight every night.
So they could log in.
So they could log in and work on it.
Right.
And trying to do that remotely was extremely confusing because it wasn't clear who was in charge or who was in which group, and they weren't really like keeping us posted.
Right.
Like you need to be talking to these guys, they're going into the office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but not these guys.
Right.
It was very incoherent. So I knew about all the people that were locked down.
Knew it was going down, right.
In China.
Right. And also, I had some of that information, which made me a little more interested in checking out
right.
what was going on.
And of course I knew that global pandemics don't stay in one place.
Right.
Unless they're
well managed. Well managed.
Right.
And now I'm about to compare this to H1N1, which was a situation here and affected far more people, but it also started on this continent.
It started here.
So that's going to be inherently harder to manage, like as China's
There's
discovered.
No right. internal border right. checkpoints, kind of,
right.
you know.
So it kind of spreads the way people spread.
Right.
But we, again, were proactive, took some precautions, and H1N1, while it was worse than SARS and MERS here, did not become just a real public health emergency.
It didn't become a pandemic.
Right. Well, it did go global, but it didn't become the kind of emergency we're looking at now where the healthcare system can't function.
Right.
That did not happen with H1N1 because of the actions we took to prevent that.
Right.
So that's where we were in February, and we were discussing amongst ourselves at what point we were going to just go into quarantine for ourselves.
And trying to say what would be the trigger, because we weren't getting good information
from anybody.
Again, I was like sending, I was sending my recommendations to the CEO, to my boss.
Just a few ideas. Your boss's boss.
Up the food chain. And just mostly hearing, pats on the head and soothing,
Oh, yeah, we're working on that.
Soothing words, but they weren't.
They were working on it,
but what they were coming up with was...
How to cover their asses.
...was drastically insufficient.
Well, yeah.
And, yes.
And really more focused on covering their asses personally rather than...
Financially.
Rather than sort of like shepherding their business.
Yeah, and keeping employees safe.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. If you're keeping your shepherding your business...
That should be the same thing.
Those should be have significant overlap.
Right.
Right?
Right. So, yeah, even the guidelines we were getting, even as our family was going on lockdown, were still like... They're just disinfecting more in the building. Right. They are not contemplating closing any... They don't expect to see the need to close any manufacturing facilities. That's literally what they were coming out with on the day when we went into quarantine.
So, if you want 20% of your staff to be hospitalized simultaneously, I guess that's something you could do.
And they were saying this even after the first deaths in... New Jersey.
In New Jersey, right.
And after, I believe, I may have, if not, if my timeline is wrong, it's only wrong by a day or two.
Right.
But after the National Guard locked down...
New Rochelle.
100
miles away.
Yeah, less than that.
Yeah.
So
not what I would call stellar leadership.
And talk a little bit about how... did we talk about this on the last one?
May have, I don't know.
I don't, where...
What's the question?
Who you were calling.
Oh, I don't want to, No, I don't want to toot my own horn, first of all. And second of all,
It's not so much a matter of tooting your own horn as saying how we were just trying to...
Trying to make something happen?
Get the word out and right. What the... When people are talking about now how what a great job Governor Whitmer's doing. We want them to know the story.
Actually, the story, yeah. And I also don't want to expose anyone to shame or gossip.
Right.
But I will say,
leave out names of people that aren't public figures.
Sure. And I will, so I called the local health department because I know some people there to make a personal ask. I called the state health department because I know some people there to make a personal ask. I called several bishop's offices to speak with people that I know there.
Trying to get churches to shut down in-person gatherings.
Right. I mean, if nothing else, all public gatherings.
Right.
And now I wasn't doing that in February, right?
Right.
I was, we were evaluating, so what do we need to do? Because it doesn't look like enough's happening for ourselves. And then in March, basically the second week in March, the first week in March, I started calling my personal friends and just saying, I don't know what you've been reading, but it's time to start canceling any of your travel plans. It's not worth it.
Yeah, and again, I was talking to everyone in my workplace, and I still had people saying, "Oh, well, I have a vacation scheduled in Boston in a couple of weeks.
I'm going.
Like, you better cancel it now and try and get your money back."
Yeah, because that's not happening.
Like, blah blah blah
blah blah blah.
This is all
hopes. Sure, Boomer. Whatever you say. So so that second week in March, when it was clear that no one was doing anything,
right.
Like not only was I, that I don't know, we had a responsibility to do something for people
right.
outside our family,
right?
So I started calling around state officials, church officials, all the nonprofits that we're associated with and work with on a regular basis, and started explaining that...
You were burning up the phone.
I was burning up the phone and my email, that basically we have a moral responsibility to cancel every in-person engagement.
There's
going
not,
and this is not like...
Pretty uniformly you were told that they were waiting for some kind of official guidance.
They were waiting for some kind of official guidance. They hadn't heard anything like that. The CDC says we just need to wash our hands.
That's literally what my manager told me.
Literally.
Just wash your hands.
Just wash your hands. And so, which honestly was a joke I was making in January and February. Like,
right.
You know. But when it occurred
it
to me...
It became not funny anymore.
It's not funny anymore. Especially when, like, I was making that joke when I was assuming we were screening people at the damn airport.
Right.
And screening materials
yes,
as they came in.
My first note to the CEO and whatnot was telling them they needed to get a nurse working in the building and to do spot checks of each of every employee
and screen them
every week for take their temperature with and question them
about their contacts and
also needed to immediately institute an emergency sick leave policy,
right, so people could just stay home if they were sick,
right, and even and 2 weeks like
2 weeks later.
They still hadn't, and they were saying, here are your resources. Your resources were state unemployment. You know,
yeah.
That's it. That's
there you go.
And Family Medical Leave Act.
See?
Right. In other words, they were offering nothing from their own pockets whatsoever to try and help their employees stay healthy.
I gotta acknowledge that that's actually, to protect their employees in this context, it's actually an act of self-interest.
Absolutely.
That's an act of self-preservation. This isn't even about being a nice guy.
Right.
This is about self-preservation.
No, they literally did not do a thing they were not required to do by law.
Precisely.
And the only, all these extra resources, you know, they talked in advance about how they were going to give us resources for and plans and all that, and everything they pointed us at was existing.
Was public.
Like public, you know, public safety net.
Right.
So,
and my call to action and my ask to people was to cancel every public gathering of all kinds and to restrict themselves. The gathering's no larger than, at the time I was saying 25.
Right.
And so,
right.
I largely fell on deaf ears. It cost me a lot of social capital.
Right.
Most of those people are too angry to speak to me now.
Right. Right.
And when I asked, I'm like, by the end of the week, I was asking and begging them to tell me why they wouldn't act as members of the public health community, as people whose responsibility is to guard the public health.
Yes.
They have all the powers to shut down restaurants independent of the governor.
Talk about how public health officials actually have almost a shadow government with shadow authority.
So, the classic example that everyone's pointing to right now that should give you some insight. The guy that shut down St. Louis during the 1918 pandemic was the chief public health officer of the county.
Uh-huh.
He had the authority to say none of you businesses have a license to operate anymore for public health reasons. You know that little sign that says number
right,
of occupancy?
Right, right.
He can make that number zero with his pen.
Yes.
And say you can't operate with the public here.
Yes.
Similarly, they have the right to do forced quarantines and to do forced isolation with the power of the state's armed officials.
National Guard, whatever.
Not necessarily in that, they get the sheriff's office.
The sheriff's office. It,
because I think most states are organized by county.
Yeah.
And if it's the county public health, the district they have is the sheriff, the county sheriff.
Okay.
Would enforce that and forcibly quarantine people to their homes. They also have the authority to order and manage testing. And you might have heard, Stanford came out with a test, Colorado started doing drive-by testing. It was their local public health officials who took action to make that happen. So every single state and county public health official who did nothing.
Just waiting for some kind of signal.
Every county and state public health official is like, oh, well, the CDC hasn't said this is a problem. I'm like, dude. You have the education
to know
this. You know
who's running the White House.
You know who's running the White House, and you know this is a problem. There's no way you don't know this is a problem.
You went through the same classes that
you took the same classes I did. You know what we're looking at.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and the example I have now to really put this in perspective for people who are like, but, well, you know, if Heb Grocery Store can figure out in January what was going down and get it together.
Wait, you can probably hear the frogs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Nature is coming back.
It is. So many places. So, but no, if a grocery store in Texas can figure this out in January and act accordingly, every state and county public health official had all the resources and insight to know what to do and how to do it.
Yes.
I mean, it was really straightforward. Every public health official could say, listen, the only places that can stay open are grocery stores, and this is how we're going to do it. Because one thing that's happening now, that again, public health officials should be doing something about, all these grocery stores that have dedicated hours for the elderly population to come in, some of them had them commingling with healthcare workers.
Yes.
Which, yeah. I don't know, that should be a red flag for anyone.
Right.
But that's the kind of thing county and state public health officials should have the insight and the resources to manage, and they've been given the legal power to do so. So, and you might say to yourself, well, you know, how can they have these sweeping powers?
That's why.
That's why, right? And we actually don't want these sweeping powers.
Sorry.
To be held by
the sticks out of the road.
We don't want these powers held by the governor. You don't want these powers held by the legislature. You don't want them held by actually the legislature wouldn't hold those powers, but or held by the county sheriff or the state police.
Yeah.
You want those powers in the hands of an epidemiologist at the public health department, because they're only supposed to do this in case of a public health emergency.
Right.
And it's pretty transparent if they're just making shit up so they can have a power grab of some perverse kind.
Right.
And it's also pretty easy to roll that back if you need to, because it's, how shall I say, it's a small seat of power. Right. Right? It's a small seat of power.
Can be overruled by the governor's office.
But it takes like,
there's a process.
There's a process, and you have to have like a triple check to roll back their powers.
Yeah.
Right? And also, every power that they can enumerate is limited by definition. So they have to, so they're going to say, we're closing all the schools, which they also have the authority to do. They have the authority to close the schools.
They could have done this before Whitmer closed the schools.
Right. They have the power to do that, and they could say, the schools are closed until X. And they can, so anytime
then
they make an edict,
evaluate it.
Right. They have to put something in that spot for when the end date is, when they make the assertion.
Right. And so, just to be clear, those people not exercising that authority as they could, as thoroughly as they were able, cost lives.
Lives. Thousands of lives.
Yes.
I'm sure you've probably seen if you're online a lot, you've seen the animation where there's one person who's infected, and you see the three people they infect,
right.
And the three people they infect, and the difference just stopping one of those people in the chain makes further down.
Right.
That it's remarkable. So the failure to act costs thousands of lives. And I really don't care what 45 is doing. If you are working at a county public health department and you can't figure out the situation you're in,
you shouldn't be working there.
I can't help you. I can't explain this to you any more profoundly than the facts in front of you.
Yeah.
And I know that many of them are struggling with tight budgets. I understand that. Their sweeping powers also allow them to tap into public health money at the state level that's normally reserved for like Medicare and Medicaid and stuff like that.
Interesting.
So, and that may not be the same in every state.
Sure.
But,
yeah, their authorities probably aren't exactly the same in every state and every county.
Certainly not. Right.
But they've got something.
And honestly, if you read about what the public health department has the power to do and the authority to do, it's like breathtaking. Like, really? They're allowed to do that? They can imprison me in my home.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, they can. And like without due process. Yes, actually they can.
But it has to be time limited, and there's a procedure for appealing and whatnot.
Exactly.
You know.
It's time limited, you know, etc.
It's not unlimited
power.
The
only thing I think they cannot do is compel treatment against your consent.
That could be.
I think that's the only thing they can't do. Okay. But they can imprison you in your home at gunpoint, and they can close every business in their jurisdiction with a pen. So, and they have the sheriff to enforce it.
So, That didn't happen, but Whitmer did eventually catch up, and she
slow but sure.
And she has now closed down the state, although we're still not entirely satisfied with
the closures.
The closures, because she's not...
She's not penalizing churches for gathering.
She's not penalizing churches. And what else? She's transporting people.
She's asking hospitals around the state to take patients from the hotspot of Southeast Michigan, which is the dumbest ass thing I think I've ever heard of in my life.
Rather than set up centralized, like, overflow hospitals, like, you know, FEMA, and FEMA tent hospitals or whatnot.
I finally read that they're taking over Cobalt Hall as a temporary hospital for 6 months.
They are. They're starting to do that.
I mean, so someone got to her and said, hey, absolutely not. We can't do that.
We cannot transport sick people with COVID-19 all around the state.
In fact, even people who aren't sick with COVID-19, who've been at that hospital,
Are not supposed to be traveling.
They can't go anywhere else in the state.
So this was all hitting the fan on a Friday.
Yep. That was like the second week. And at the end of that second week, we went on personal lockdown.
Friday I'm talking about is
the week after that, the 20th?
Friday, what happened that Friday when I came home? I packed up, I got to work, and this was all going down on Friday.
That was Friday the 13th, actually.
Friday the 13th. And people were finally saying, Thorlabs had not, sorry, I shouldn't use my employer's name. Fuck it. Thorlabs they said they were studying a plan to allow some people to work at home. People who are able to work at home to work at home. They were studying that
plan. We're thinking about that, yeah.
Right, and finally, like, I went in and my manager was like, okay, everyone go home. All the engineers go home.
Go home, stay home.
So I packed up my laptop and stuff and came home and started working at home. And then the following Tuesday, that was the day we locked down, basically.
That was the day we locked down, yeah.
Yeah, we locked down on Friday the 13th.
Our personal lockdown.
Yes.
Right.
And I worked, so during that next week, we started doing video conferencing, which we hadn't really set up yet, but finally we're getting our shit together to do video conferencing.
Barely.
I never did get to get on the VPN.
Right.
Because the IT was so far behind, and they had apparently all been sent home.
Yeah.
But couldn't get on the VPN to do their job or something.
Some stupid thing.
Anyway, they were limiting VPN access. So we had a... Sorry, my hair keeps blowing in my mouth.
Details.
We had a difficult first week in lockdown, trying to work from home. And then the following Monday, I got a text.
Coming in, bro?
That said, are you coming into the office? I'm like, no, I'm not coming into the fucking office. Are you insane? The manager said, call me. So I called him, and he had been in conference calls all over the weekend with the CEO. And they were laying off all non-essential personnel, that is, whom they deemed non-essential for production, for producing boxes.
Right. So their entire R&D staff.
In the Ann Arbor office, everyone involved in R&D was effectively laid off.
Yeah.
That includes support, right?
You know, yeah. Like,
so we were all furloughed last Monday.
Yes, so we could go tomorrow.
With no...
No warning, no severance.
No warning, no severance.
No paid time off.
No, we're not getting our paid time off or anything. And so suddenly my income dropped from something to nothing.
Yeah.
So then Tuesday, I spent the entire day applying for unemployment.
Yeah.
And then trying to get in touch with every creditor.
Right. Hold them at bay.
What?
To hold them at bay.
Yeah, including the gas company, like the DTE, our energy's provider, and even our phone provider. You know, like every bill, everyone who was going to be expecting a payment or charging us automatically.
Yeah, I can't do that.
To try and hold them off.
Right.
And Wells Fargo is the one that's proving to be, of course, the tough nut to crack.
Tough nut to crack.
First of all, I mean, Michigan unemployment site was crashing and crashing
left, right, and center,
hanging and taking, because, go figure, suddenly
every person in the state, or like
not like every person, 10% of the
10%
state,
right,
was suddenly trying to apply for unemployment last week. But I will receive unemployment. They have waived the work search like reporting requirement.
Yep.
So I no longer have to report jobs applied for, which is good because I can't leave
the house.
Right. I can't be going to interviews. So
in a mask, wearing gloves. And they of course have no mask or gloves on because there's nothing happening.
Right.
We're just interviewing for jobs. Everything's normal.
So I have heard back actually from several deaths are basically suspended. By suspended, like you go to our bank's website, it says, we have a plan to help you out during this trying time. And then you investigate and say, can you stop payments on this for, say, 90 days?
Right.
And they say, yes, we won't charge you any late fees or report this
to your credit.
To the credit bureaus for being delinquent. Like, great. So you're just going to slap all that interest on, though.
On the end.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly it.
We're still making money, though.
Right.
Yeah, because we don't work. We just make money off of you.
Right. And they're all that way.
Yeah.
So all these debts. I'm trying to figure out how to cancel the automatic withdrawal April 1st.
Right.
For the mortgage payment. Wells Fargo has not yet confirmed that they will do that. So Monday, I'm going to try to get the bank to just stop, just block payments from Wells Fargo. Yeah. Or withdrawals.
I think you'll have like a bounce fee.
Withdrawals from Wells Fargo. Well, bounce fee better than
all of it.
Than $2,600 I can't
afford right now.
Can't afford.
Yeah.
So we'll be receiving $362 of Michigan unemployment, which interestingly is the same amount that it was at least 20 years ago.
1996, I think 24 years ago.
24 years ago. It has not changed in 24 years. Because nothing's gotten any more expensive.
Right, so why would you change that?
I mean, right. So, however...
That was sarcasm.
Yeah. Anyway. However, we may be getting supplemental unemployment.
Thanks to my boy Sanders!
Thanks to... Well, not him. Not just him personally, but he did stand up and... And threatened to block the
passage
if they gutted that provision.
Right.
He did not initially introduce that provision.
Right.
But he stood up for it and gave a fiery speech and shamed people into not doing that. So
right.
There it is. That's what he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's that. So we may be getting supplemental unemployment, and we also may be getting a one-time stimulus check at some point. I'm not holding my breath.
Very stimulating.
Maybe in May. I don't know.
We'll see. I think they're supposed to direct deposit it
if federal income tax filed with direct deposit for your refund.
They may just send it.
Just deposit it.
Right.
But
in which case, it would come fairly quickly.
Supposedly, but again.
But you know, there's all kinds of horseshit going on.
Not holding my breath and.
And saving it.
You know, we have a number of kids, so that'll be a fairly substantial check.
But
it will not even be a month's pay.
Right.
Will not even be a month's pay, but of my normal salary.
Pay. Right.
However, I mean, everything will help.
Everything helps.
So, but that's not really what people need is a one-time check.
No.
That's known as a bribe.
That's a bribe for you to vote for him in
or a
November.
Payoff.
Right. And this is what I think, on the one hand, you could say they don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't, they know exactly
Their
what's going down.
Staffers have a lot of spreadsheets. They know.
They know exactly what's going down. They're not confused. But, you know, the generous and charitable explanation is that maybe they're confused and they don't understand that this is going to last.
What could a banana cost?
$10? But this is going to last months. In the short term.
Yes.
The short term shock is going to be months long.
Right.
Like, not 2 months, but 3 or 4 months. And then long term, we're looking at 3 years before we have a new normal and stable economy.
And the new normal will be quite strange for
a while.
Possibly forever.
Right. So, are we heading back or?
No, let's keep going.
Yeah, because I've wanted to do this whole loop for a long time, but I've always nervous because I don't want to leave the babies for a long time.
Right, so we're carrying, Grace is pushing a jog stroller with Eleanor in it, and I'm wearing a backpack carrier with Malachi in it.
Yeah, that's just a little baby cough.
Yeah.
We're hoping it's all good and not a thing. But, you know, he seems to be really fine except for his cough.
Well, let's get to that, everyone's health here in a moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm trying to figure out what to do with myself and basically saying I'm not going to be rushing to apply for jobs. I'm not going to relocate. I'm certainly not going to travel out of state to take a consulting gig like I've done before. And I'm not even planning to travel in state in the short term to take a gig.
Right.
So it's also very unclear to me whether I will be rehired or not. I'm trying to maintain a realistic level of pessimism.
Right.
But it's also true that I was personally involved in the development of many of our group's most profitable products.
Right.
And I provide all the tech support and feature development for upcoming products.
Right.
So, I mean, I can't make their decisions for them, but I know if I were looking around at who are the essential employees to get the business up and running again, in even a more limited mode, that I would be on that list for the Ann Arbor office.
Right.
My real question is, are they going to decide that they just need to pull the plug on this Ann Arbor office?
That's an open question, because they clearly haven't done much planning. So they may panic and just pull the plug.
Yeah, so far they have not. So far they were just trying to, from what I understand, they realize that their catalog sales are declining to
almost zero.
Huge
drop.
Declines in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were looking around frantically to cut expenses at all costs. And they're also switching from a company that keeps keeps everything in inventory.
Right.
So that they can ship it the next day.
To build to order.
Or same day. They're switching pretty much all their bigger products, more expensive products, things that we build, to build to order.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not clear yet how much revenue, whether the business will remain viable in its current form or in a reduced form or whatever.
Or what, yeah.
And how they're going to manage that.
Because they have a lot of offices overseas, too.
Absolutely.
Right.
So, and I'm now officially
furloughed.
I'm not privileged. I'm not privy to any conversations except my manager, sends me emails once in a while to check in how we're doing. But no, I have my laptop. I could just continue working on some of this stuff, but you're actually forbidden.
Oh, hey.
Right.
Check that out.
Mm-hmm. So you're actually forbidden when you're on furlough from working on projects for your employer.
Right.
Because that's a huge liability.
I think it's a violation of the labor.
Sure, labor exactly. Action. Well, I mean, liability in that you could sue them for asking you to do that.
To work while you're not being paid.
Right.
And also,
in exchange for future inducements, like, hey, if you work for us now for free, you can
have
your job back.
Later.
Yeah.
Are you think?
That's not legal.
Not actually legal. And it really kind of exposes the nature of wage slavery as slavery.
Right. So I'm not working on stuff for Thor Labs, except I need to keep myself busy, and I would like to be able to do something to continue to enhance my career prospects in the future. So I am planning to work on an open source project, which then will actually be of interest and use to me again as a Thor Labs employee in the future.
Right.
So that's what I'm planning to do with my time. In addition, get 7 kids at home is not easy, right?
Yeah, no.
It's not actually like I have all this free time, especially since the kids are kind of melting down.
Yeah, in turn. Not simultaneously,
time, right?
Which I'm grateful for.
Well, anyways.
Well, they had the one day where they all melted down at the same time.
So that's the income and employment situation. I expect to have enough in unemployment, enhanced unemployment payments, at least for the short term.
Right.
And also food benefits.
Right.
Which we shouldn't discount the value of.
No, sir.
Because it's very generous for a family of our size. It actually is enough.
Right.
To feed everyone. And possibly a stimulus check at some point. I expect to have enough money
come
to keep us going okay with either not paying at all or paying a much reduced amount on our mortgage and debts. So that's where things are with that.
Yeah.
Talk about everyone's health a bit, maybe.
Oh, so our housemate Joy is isolating in place. She has a space on the lower floor.
Yeah.
And so she's keeping to herself just to keep her health in check.
She's mostly keeping to herself.
Right. And
she has a little kitchen set up down there.
Right. In the bathroom. So she's pretty good on her own. But, you know.
She's the one who's probably the most vulnerable to this infection as far as what the what the health outcome would be if she contracted it.
Right. And then you and I are second and third.
Something like that.
Right. And Eleanor's fourth.
Yeah.
Not that she's not first in our hearts.
Right. But as far as risk.
As far as risk.
Of fatality.
Right. Or significant illness.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, she's... There's a social toll on that. It really gets kind of weird to not interact as much as you normally would.
Right.
It's, like, weird and uncomfortable.
Yes.
The rest of us all live on the same floor and interact a lot daily.
Yes.
Several of us are small children whom you and I cannot avoid interacting with very intimately.
Of course not.
Right? Like in our faces, on our heads,
coughing
on our
in our faces.
Literally.
Cleaning up diapers and
all
you know.
That, right? So, and as we've seen, as the records borne out, this is primarily transmitted within family groups.
Yes.
So, like, it's kind of.
So, this is why actually staying on lockdown and doing things that other people seem may find excessive
and extreme
is so important to us.
Yes.
And I want to talk about a couple of those things.
In just a second, right?
Yeah.
So,
I'm checking that we're still actually recording.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this live? Is this live?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Sometimes it like stops or dies or something.
And so for the rest of us, the children are in broadly excellent health. Veronica and Sam had a cough for a little while, but we've managed that and they're both on the mend, they appear to be. The babies, about 3 weeks ago, had a strange illness that was quite remarkable. It was a lot of GI trouble.
They blew up. They were blowing up diapers with extreme prejudice and like
several times a day,
shooting out the sides.
It was kind of ridiculous and absurd.
It was so gross.
I was trying to cover that by saying it was GI.
Yeah. I think we should.
I don't know,
There's no polite.
No polite way to describe that illness.
Right.
And they also clearly had some kind of sore throat or whatnot because about a week after they were ill, I was ill, and I had a sore throat and discomfort and GI trouble.
Right.
And it was like, whoa, no wonder they were so miserable. This feels terrible.
Right.
And then...
I had a little GI trouble.
And you had that, right?
Just a little, like for a couple days.
And then after that passed, they seemed to be bounced back just fine. But this cold and diarrhea is back for Kai.
It's back.
Right, and the coughing and the runny nose is back for Eleanor. And it's I don't know how else to put this except to say it smells the same.
Right.
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 So, I don't know what that means.
We don't know what that means. Nobody's been out.
Right.
So the idea that we brought another virus, like a cold virus home or something,
like,
it's hard to credit.
Right,
know?
Right. Maybe on the mail, I don't know. But, you know.
So... Neither Grace or I or the kids have had a fever at all, and we've actually been monitoring our temperature daily.
And no one's had a fever.
One's had a fever. I have had, you know, it's hard to tell what's happening because we're paranoid now.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a fart, sorry.
It's also allergy season and still cold and flu season, both. So, I mean... Any of these things can be, you know, warning symptoms.
Right.
However, I also had a weird round of tachycardia, which is still troubling me a bit with my heart racing and my EKG a little abnormal.
Yep.
And I've been reading that that's a symptom.
Yes.
That you can have pericarditis and there's some other carditis. That's
myocarditis.
Myocarditis.
These are infections in the lining of your heart muscle.
Yes. And that can be your only symptom.
Yeah, boy.
And so I think...
You're like, did I have a heart attack? No, you had the COVID.
And I think it's possible that we've actually had it.
It's possible. A lot of people are saying that. I know a lot of people are saying that. And not all of us actually had it.
Right.
But some of us probably did.
Yeah, so I mean, it's possible.
Just, I mean, statistically, some of us probably did.
I honestly just don't know. But it's possible that we are actually... And the only way for us really to find out, I think, would be to do an antibody titer, a blood test for antibodies.
It keeps coming back to testing, but...
Right. However, we are still... So the plan is, we're still on a tight, tight lockdown. We're not even going out for groceries for another week.
Yep.
Or any food.
Nope.
Because we still have... We stocked up. We have a lot of food in the house.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily everyone's preferred...
Preferred food, but food. No one's gonna starve.
So there's a lot. So we've talked about health, we've talked about what we're doing, talked about I'm doing open source projects. Talk about our measures when we do go out.
Woo!
It's a pretty grim day.
Yeah. Don't want your baby to go flying.
Eleanor's baby doll just went flying out of the jog stroller onto the dirt.
Yeah, so this is very sweet. Eleanor went for a walk, so she got her baby dressed to go for a walk, too.
She knew we were getting ready to go, so she put shoes on her baby doll and put a coat on her baby doll. And,
yeah, because, you know, baby wants to walk.
The baby wants to go with her.
Yeah.
So she's hugging the baby.
It's pretty sweet, guys.
Yes. It's,
so
I'm going to get diabetes just
by watching.
Yeah.
You know, that's a risk factor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having an adorable little daughter is a risk factor for diabetes.
It is.
Oh, I've lost 10 pounds, by the way.
Have you, though? Hey!
Hey!
God bless!
You got the best seat in the house.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Those are some friends of ours from church, actually.
Yeah.
Good folks.
We are social distancing.
Yes, we are.
They just slowed down and rolled down the window.
Little kiss from about 10 feet away.
Yes.
Which, you know, it's good social interaction.
Yes.
For these times.
Our precautions. So, yeah. Mail.
Mail. Gloves when you take the mail out. And it's quarantined.
Box.
Yeah, it's quarantined for
3 days.
3 days. And you wash your hands after you put it away.
I'm promoting a system where you take 6 paper bags.
Right.
And you label them Monday through Friday.
Monday through Saturday.
Monday through Saturday, yes.
And, you know, Monday, so you take out Mondays on Thursdays, Tuesdays on Friday, and so on.
Yeah, so you put it in the day that you get it.
Right.
I've been also wiping down the mailbox with bleach wipe.
Bleach wipe.
You don't want to touch the mail for 3 days after it arrives.
Right.
Now talk about, because this one is, people are mocking me for that. You know, you don't need to do that.
Well, bless your heart.
Yeah,
don't
good
do
luck.
It then.
You know, maybe it's overkill.
Sure.
Hey, it gives us something to do.
Right. Everyone was telling me that a mask and gloves were overkill, and look at us now, goddammit.
So, talk about our protocol for going out to a store or in public.
I suit up with a layer of clothes over, like, leggings and a shirt, right? And then I have a hat on, and I have a mask on, and I have plastic gloves when I go into the store.
The mask is not an N95 mask.
No.
It's actually a fabric mask that we made.
Right. And the purpose of the mask, and really for all of us,
largely,
the primary purpose for the general public is to stop you and train you not to touch your face.
So you're touching things out in a grocery store or whatever.
And then you reach up and scratch your nose.
Yeah.
And then you infect yourself.
Right.
That is
so
the primary
mask, the mask prevents that. It also...
Right.
Does something to protect inhaling aerosolized
particles. It's not no protection, right?
Right.
From that, but it's not like an N95 mask. It's not hospital level PPE.
Right. And we have done a couple pickups.
Yep.
No contact pickups, where you open the, you know, wipe off the door handle of the trunk, open up the trunk.
Mm-hmm. And just to clarify back one step,
okay. Is
I will touch the car and its environment with my bare hands and everything in the store with gloved hands and remove my gloves before I touch the car again.
Yeah, right? And I've also been wiping down my steering wheel and gear shifter and other things, you know, dash, other things that I'm likely to touch in the car, including the radio buttons.
Right.
Right, with a bleach wipe.
Right.
And my phone with a bleach wipe.
With a bleach wipe. And this is in addition to hand washing and the sort. This is in addition to everything the CD says.
The basic hand washing.
Right. Those basic things.
That's like a given at this point.
Right, it's a given. And to be fair, those are real measures that provide real help.
Yes.
And are valuable all the time.
Right.
Every day of every year.
Those measures are good for colds.
They're good for colds.
And flu, yeah. Not just COVID-19.
Right. It's good for colds, flu, for each of us individually, for our personal health, and for community health, to make sure your hands are washed, you don't touch your face, and, you know, you don't get too close to people that you're not, you don't live with.
Okay.
Right? Okay, that's
so
it.
So groceries. So, the no contact pickups.
Right.
Literally, people put a box or bag in the back of the car.
Right. They don't touch the car.
You don't get out of the car. You wave. You know. Maybe you open the window and say thank you.
Right. That's it. You pay over the phone. That's the whole transaction.
You don't give them your. You don't hand them your card.
Because that's going to be a thing.
Right. Or put it in the machine that everyone else is
touching,
unless you're going to wipe it down with a bleach wipe afterwards.
Which I've been doing when I've gone in, before we went on lockdown.
Right.
For 2 weeks before that,
You've been wiping down your cards.
Wiping down my cards, wiping down the contents of my wallet, the outside of my wallet, and wiping down, and this really pissed people off, I would wipe down the pin pad.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I had some, and I would clean the pin pad before I touched it.
I just sort of keep the wipe in my pocket.
Right. Which people are like, oh. Ugh. I'm like, dude.
I'm trying to keep you safe,
too. Trying to keep you safe. So, anyway. And I've always been not a neat freak by any measure of anyone's imagination.
No,
but I've always been kind of
No one who saw our laundry situation would accuse you of being a neat freak.
No, not by a long shot. But I've always had this kind of thing about bugs.
Yeah.
Not like creepy crawly bugs, but like...
Oh, I love creepy crawly bugs.
Yeah, some of my
favorites. Talking about bacteria.
Bacteria and viruses.
Yeah.
Has always been an issue for me.
The things that you've always said will kill you one day.
It'll kill you. It's going to be a bug.
Yes.
A bacteria or a virus.
Not a spider.
Not a spider, but a bacteria or a virus every time. So, the rules that I have in my house and have always had about keeping your shoes off, and I've gone out of my way not to be a hand-washing Nazi with my children.
Right.
I think that's unhealthy for our relationship.
Right.
But the two oldest, Sam specifically, is the one who listens to when I talk.
Right.
So he's got people mock him and say, you're not getting ready for surgery. What the hell are you doing washing your hands? Because he washes like he's getting ready for surgery.
Well, because he's washing the way we've told him to, using the WHO guidelines.
Right, to wash and to keep yourself clean, you know, for health reasons.
Right.
And Veronica, only recently, I think about 6 months ago, was like, you know, I'm 15 years old. I need to stop acting like a toddler and wash my damn hands. And she did. She started washing her hands and being very careful with her hand washing routine and embracing the things I've taught her. Her entire life, actually.
Yes.
So, it's challenging, but... those things are there, and I think it's been valuable, largely, if I haven't been a Nazi about it, but not getting my kids so that they are really good about this at a young age means we've not been able to take them anywhere and keep them clean.
Right, we can't... None of the younger ones can come with us on a pickup run or a grocery run.
Or anything.
Grace and I have actually been going together, so we can kind of police each other.
Right.
And say, hey, you touched that thing.
That's a thing, wash.
Right.
And be very, yeah. Because, you know, even the germaphobe that I am, it's easy
to overlook something.
And it's easy to touch your face.
And break your quarantine or not handle your gloves properly.
Right. It's very easy.
So, yeah, so talk a little bit about what we're going to do with groceries, because that's controversial, too.
Oh, yeah, I washed about 2 weeks before, it's like, yeah, beginning of March, I started washing all the groceries when they came in the house.
Say what you mean by washing.
So we've got a bleach wipe, and we put them all on one table.
Yeah.
And we wash an item with a bleach wipe all over the surface, the outside surface, move it to the clean table.
Yeah.
And then... Someone who wasn't washing puts it away.
You also could, if you don't want to do this, you could put, if you have a garage,
you could just
put all your non-perishable items in the garage for 3 days.
Right, and then go
in. No virus particles should be viable on the surfaces after 3 days, even on metal. Actually, metal I think is shorter, so on cans and on paper.
Yeah. So.
So, I'm not sure what we're going to do with fresh vegetables.
Fresh vegetables, well, I'm not serving raw vegetables, you may have noticed.
We're not. Yeah, right. We stopped getting bagged salads.
Yeah, no raw vegetables.
Because the people that bagged them probably don't have sick leave.
Right. And frankly, may be transmitting before they are conscious they are ill.
That's another thing about this virus. First of all, two main factors that make this one particularly virulent, you know, literally is what the word means, yeah. is the length of time that you can be contagious before you even have symptoms.
Is sometimes a week.
And also the number of people that you tend to infect is much higher than the flu.
Right.
Which is why that curve is going exponential.
Right. You're not just infecting one other person, right? It's usually three.
It's usually three.
Roughly.
And with the flu, it's like 1.3.
Right. It's just over one.
So, which means maybe you infect one other person.
Yes.
But it's not guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. So what this means with your groceries is you probably don't want to eat any raw food. This is not a good time to get sushi.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, get some sushi takeout and, you know.
Or I guess if you get... So frozen food should be fine if you frozen just food. Can, you know, keep the outside cleaned.
Right, keep the outside clean.
Frozen packaged food.
We don't know how it deals with freezing. But anything you're going to cook is
yeah,
fine.
But you're
going
to put it right in the oven.
Right, you're going to put it in the oven. Right.
So
in the fresh food, you don't necessarily need to wash any more than you normally would, but it does need to be cooked.
Right.
And sautéed and brought up to temperature
right.
to kill any viral...
COVID-19 does not, or that's the disease, so the terminology is confusing. The virus,
right.
SARS-CoV-2, is vulnerable to heat. It doesn't even take that much heat. It's like 130, 140 degrees or something like that.
I think it's 110, but, you know, don't quote me. It's not very
yeah.
much.
Boiling, right. you know, even bringing up to boiling temperature would kill it
would
quickly.
Kill it. Right.
Not, so, and not even kill it. That's the frustrating thing about talking about viruses. It
it's
causes
alive.
The virus
to be
the virus molecule, the pouch, to become non-viable,
right.
to break down.
Right. So it's still there, but it can't infect you.
It loses its lipid coating,
mm-hmm.
and then it breaks apart. It oxidizes.
It's really fundamentally, it's a particle. It's not even really a living thing.
It's not really a living thing. It's a complex molecule with a lipid envelope.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah.
If you're stuck at home and you're not horrified by reading about it,
oh, you should do
studying
the reading.
About viruses is
absolutely
fascinating.
Absolutely fascinating.
So we're almost back.
Almost back home. Oh, just the last thing about food is don't be afraid of your food. Wash down the containers they came in.
Yeah.
And or quarantine
or
them.
Or let them, or stay in quarantine.
And, and make sure that if it's something that hasn't... It needs to be cooked.
Now, how about takeout?
I'm not doing takeout.
Why not?
I'm not doing takeout because the people who are preparing and packaging and delivering the food
yeah.
Probably don't have the sick time they need
yeah. there's
to
no,
not expose you to the virus.
There's no way that, like, you know, pizza coming out of the oven or deep fried fish coming out of the fryer
has any
is,
virus
is contaminated is infectious.
Not anyway.
But it's then handled.
Is it handled by someone
who
puts it in a container?
Probably doesn't have paid sick time.
Right, and I'm sure it doesn't have PPE.
Doesn't have a mask, doesn't have gloves. Oftentimes they do have gloves.
They have gloves.
Now.
And that's a public health regulation.
Right.
They have to have gloves. So
right.
again, the public health department
right.
could have regulated this that everyone needs a glove and a mask immediately.
Right, right.
And you
but
can't save them for business without providing it.
But right now we are saying, no, it's, I don't know, we may loosen this restriction a bit at some point, but right now we're saying, no, it's not even worth getting takeout. It's
nope.
not even worth the risk.
No, it's not.
Which is...
And takeout is still, quote, legal in Michigan
right.
under the
restaurants
new guidelines.
Are still open for takeout. Some are.
Some are.
Some have just closed.
Right.
Some probably went out of business after 3 days
right.
of shutdown, you
right.
know?
So this... And I'm beginning to wonder, do you think Mylan Coffee Works is an essential business? I do, but does anyone agree with me?
We felt it especially hard because Grace and I had a ritual of driving to Mylan to support a small local cafe.
And roasting
company called Mylan Coffee Works that makes the most blissfully delicious, like, oat milk lattes with fresh roasted beans.
Oh, just stop.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's been...
Ripped away from us.
That's been particularly hard to take.
Yeah.
I can live without
so many things.
So many things.
And I can live without that too,
but
honestly.
But that special ritual of going out for a really lovely latte and also having a drive together and talking
and
together for a short date, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I feel
it.
That.
Yeah, I miss it a lot.
I also feel my lack of egg salad sandwich on whole wheat toast at Joe and Rosie's for breakfast on my way to work.
And I'd make you an egg salad sandwich on whole wheat toast.
We can't have eggs in the house. That's why I was going out.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, so we're going to wind up. But
if that's the extent of our suffering, we got off easy.
That's the extent of our suffering. The thing is, we don't know how this ends.
No, we don't. And this is just the first chapter.
This is just month one.
Month one.
And this is probably going to be 18 months of at least.
Three years.
Yeah, of severely disrupted, like, either lockdown or alternating periods of lockdown and partially open up.
Right.
You know, and it's going to change everything. It already has.
It already has.
And it is still going exponential.
Yeah.
In Detroit, in New York, in Louisiana, in
Washington
Florida,
State.
In Washington State.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see images now. I think people are starting, it's sinking in, that they're filling up refrigerator trucks with bodies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is real and it's grim. I want to thank the Metropolitan Opera
so much
for doing a daily free
opera.
Live stream. As soon as
it's not
I
live stream, so, but like a
well, it's a repeat.
It's a
rerun of a live stream that they did previously, and that's been a godsend for us. Although it's driving the kids crazy.
Well, it's driving one kid crazy.
One kid crazy.
Several of the kids really like it, but it's driving one kid crazy.
But
I've loved it because I basically haven't had access to classical music at home for a long time now, years,
right.
Decades.
Well, we have a lot, but it's hard to hear anything.
It's hard to hear it, and no one. And also, we get complaints.
When if we put on whatever, the kids start making as much noise as possible to protest. But the live streams have been really cool, and we can't thank them with a donation at the moment.
But
when I have, like, hang on.
Any disposable income again?
As soon as I feel comfortable that we're in a safer place
financial.
With income,
right.
I'm going to buy a copy of the Blu-ray edition of The Ring Cycle.
Yeah.
It costs $150, but worth we've gotten
every penny.
We've gotten a lot of enjoyment from the Met, not just those operas, but many others. And next week they're showing Nixon in China, and I'm
stoked.
I'm fixing to bust.
Oh! Yo, Kai thinks it's really great.
Malachi's awake.
Awake and cooing and smiling.
Yeah. Okay, so we're coming up on 1 hour.
Yeah. Hitting up our driveway.
In addition to working on an open source project that has like dual use potential, I'm not even going to try to explain what it is because it's highly technical, of interest only to embedded software engineers.
Okay.
But in addition to that, I'm working on podcasts and live streams, and I've already started with that. You can check on Facebook. I'm starting to record stories with live mixed music.
Oh, you can do that podcast with Elias now.
I can probably do that podcast with Elias.
Yeah.
I got to finish reading the book. Reading is really hard. I'm very distractible.
Why?
With anxiety.
Oh, really?
And even after going off coffee, and
still a little wired. Still a little wired.
I'm trying to limit myself to only. I'm trying to restrain my shit posting.
Yeah.
Because I just want to scream at everyone on social media.
Yeah.
About politics.
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to ruin any more friendships than I already have.
Yeah.
And what else?
That's a good question.
You're every day in contact with a lot of your friends and we're also acting as a sounding board and a resource to
a lot of shut-ins who are isolating in place by themselves.
Right. I have friends that I talk with. You have friends that you talk with.
And they're just keeping their spirits up daily.
The kids have had access to some of their usual activities with
via Zoom.
Via Zoom with like the support groups put together by their choir, which has otherwise completely shut down all, you know, activities. Right. And the church youth group via Zoom. So anyway, we're back home. I think we're going to call it, and I'm going to try and get this out today. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you. Talk soon.
Bye-bye.